Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
From the looks of people's faces, I think you must all be pleased with this last week. I wanted to just mention to you that we're going to start going an extra 30 minutes later to 8 o'clock with the last 30 minutes primarily devoted to praying for our nation and to praying for, initially it'll be for our nation primarily as we are so critical with the new administration and so forth now, but then we'll expand it to include other nations, and Operations World has, I think, 200 plus nations in it, so we have an endless number of nations to pray for, and maybe get some lists of senators, we won't change the first hour really from what it's been. We'll pray in a group and then into small groups, and then I'm going to put a note in the bulletin at 7:30 prayer for the nations, and people can come then or whatever, or you can stay, and if you can stay and pray, and if you've got to go, go, and whoever's interested in that, we will do that. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we bow humbly before you, Lord, with nothing to offer except our gratitude and our thanksgiving for your awesome gifts to us individually, the gifts of grace to save us, and even your blessings on this land. And Lord, we are so grateful for you moving. And Lord, we want to just come to you in prayer this morning. And Lord, as this morning we want to look at intercessory prayer and see if we can glean from what you tell us in your word, and guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought we would just sing America the Beautiful. We've been going through the Bible, and we just finished a great intercessory prayer by our Lord and Savior in the great high priestly prayer in John 17, where verses 6 through 26, he prays specifically for others, specifically for his disciples, and then the last seven verses for us, those who would believe on his word in the future. And thinking more about intercessory prayer, I did hear a message by Spurgeon entitled Intercessory Prayer, and the reference is given in your notes today. And I took some notes from that sermon because I thought it was so good. And thinking of the need and the desire to pray for the new administration and for the restart opportunities in Washington, so to speak, how we need prayer for that. And so the text that I want to refer to is from the book of Job, the last few verses of the book of Job in chapter 42. And reading in verse 7, we read, "And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has.' So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job." Now here's the key verse. "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends." There's one of the real keys in intercessory prayer there. People that pray for others get blessed themselves. People that pray for healing for others get healed themselves. And there's a whole number of reasons why we should be involved in intercessory prayer, and just a few of them I have in the notes. First of all, biblical examples. We have examples from Abraham praying for Ishmael and for Sodom and Gomorrah. We have examples of Moses. The Lord wanted to destroy Israel after the golden calf incident and even gave Moses the chance to start over again under his name. But what did he say? He would pray for them, even if it cost him his own salvation, he would pray for them. Samuel said, "I don't want to commit the sin of prayerlessness in the nation of Israel," in 1 Samuel 12. Solomon prayed for the people at the temple dedication given to us in 1 Kings 8 and also 2 Chronicles 6. Hezekiah, however you want to pronounce it, prayed for himself and the people of Assyria at the invasion threat in Isaiah 37. Elijah prayed for the end of the drought in 1 Kings 18. Jeremiah, I think you love these pronunciations, don't you? You probably say, what are you talking about? But you probably like Jeremiah better. Jeremiah, tears of prayers for the people. And then Peter, praying on the rooftop. Stephen, praying while stoned. "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." What an intercessory prayer at the time you're being killed. Apostle Paul never ceased to pray. In the middle of epistles, he would say, for example, in Ephesians and Colossians, I never cease to pray, or "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then what about the cloud of holy witnesses? What about the millions of believers that have gone before us who would, without a doubt, be praying for their children, for their family, and for the lost? And then our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only has he made it clear in his word that it is our duty and privilege to intercede for others, but what an example of intercession he has. In fact, we read in Hebrews 7:25, what he ever lives to make intercession for us. It doesn't mean just that he lived in the past. He ever lives in the present and in the future to make intercession for us. James said, "Pray for one another, and the blessings for both the object of prayer and the one praying are thereby given." So we have all of these biblical examples of people praying for others. And so how encouraging that is. And in looking a little bit more at just our Savior's example, was there ever one who interceded as he did? He would pray all night at times. And even in the agonies of his crucifixion, he didn't forget his will and his desire to pray as an intercessor. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So, before the throne, he prays not for himself because he has attained his glory. He's received his blessings and so forth for the labor that he has done, but he prays for us, for the purchase of his blood, for as many as are called by his grace. And then, as I mentioned, John 17:20, as he would say, for those who will believe in me through their word, and that's us, the future believers, praying for us, all that would come to God through his word. Believer, with such an example as this, we're very guilty if we do not plead for others. Amen. It was Christ's will that he would pray for others. It was his practice to intercede, and the very spirit of our Christian faith would demand us to plead for others. So, do you go up into your closet in the face and presence of God and pray only for yourself? I pray not. I pray not. More reasons for intercessory prayer. Because it opens up one's soul. It gives you a healthy aspect to a growing aspect to your compassion. Intercessory prayer compels you against your pride. And so how we all need that. Not to feel we're superior to anybody in this whole world, in this great universe, and all the creatures don't bow down to us. We're not the center of anything. And as we pray for others, that comes into focus so clearly. And because of our human nature, you know, we're basically hard-hearted, harsh, unlovely of spirit, but much praying for others will remind us that we indeed, as his children, have a relationship to all believers, that their interests are ours, and that we're jointly concerned with them in all the privileges of grace. When you got complaints, boy, I can read this one over and over. When there are complaints against another or in terms of another, pray about it. Don't complain about it. Pray about it. And I think of myself complaining about maybe pastors or maybe somebody else and how guilty then I get when I recognize I haven't even prayed for them, but I'm criticizing them. And if I am critical of them, then I should be critical of myself for not praying for them, right?
Yeah.
So pray for one another. And if you can't think of anybody else to pray for me. When everything is well and perfect for you, pray for others. Pray for the poor, the sick, the afflicted, the tempted, the tried, the despondent, the despairing, the imprisoned. And when you have the ear of the Lord, speak to him for others. When you're permitted, as we are, with access to come very close to his throne, and he says, ask, and I will give you what you will, ask for others. Ask for others. When your faith is strong, your eyes are clear, your access near, your interest is sure, and the love of God sweetly shed abroad in your heart, then take the petitions of those around you. Pray for those who can't pray. Now, who is that? Well, it certainly would be unbelievers. Now, yeah, they have access to the Lord in a sense, but they aren't they aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't have full access to God yet because they don't have their transmitter on and their receiver on, right? They're dead spiritually. So pray for the lost always, but also for the believers. If there's sin in an unbeliever, if there's sin in a believer's life, God says what? I will not hear their prayers. So pray for them. Maybe they can't pray right now. Pray for others. Now, how about the grace that you've been given? Spurgeon said, I agree, it's utterly impossible that you should have a large measure of grace unless it prompts you to use it to pray for others. And if you're not doing that, then your grace is small and puny and shriveled up. I've never thought about that. I've never thought about grace being puny and small and shriveled up. But I know there's time in my life when I made it that way because I haven't really been looking out for others. And I know how that would be such an important thing. And if we are not praying for others, then we are just have enough grace to hold our own in the quicksand we're in, and that's about it. But there's so much more if we can bring rich blessings to others and to pray for them. And it's impossible for a full-grown believer to live or to pray for himself alone. Can you really be saved if you're not praying for anybody else? Because when you're praying for others, what does that mean? It means you love them, right? If you have no love for anybody else, I don't think you're the Lord's, really. Because if you love only yourself, I mean, the heathen do that, right? But we need to love others because that's the whole fruit of the Spirit, is it not? fruit of the Spirit is love. And so one of the best ways to demonstrate that love is through prayer and praying for others. So let's go to prayer again this morning, and we'll pray in a group, and then around 7:15 or so, we'll break into pairs and can pray further that way. Pairs aren't necessarily real critical, but if we pray in pairs, that means half of us are praying all the time. And so in a quarter of an hour, you get a lot of coverage of prayer that way, other than just sitting there and listening to others pray. So, Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to gather. We just thank you for blessing us and blessing this nation. And, Lord, we need so many things to be changed from the wicked and the ungodly to turn back to you. And Lord, you have given each of us such a powerful tool to use to pray. And are we using it, and will we use it? I pray we will and are. And this morning, here we are. People are here because they want to pray. What a testimony to their hearts and to their grace. And so, Lord, lead us now as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.